All right, I think we're situated now. Y'all doing okay this morning?
Yep.
All right, so two people are doing okay. That's good. That's good. Are y'all blessed this morning? Amen? All right, so Matthew chapter 9. If you were here last week, we took a little break from our study of Matthew. Sometimes the Lord just lays something on my heart or on somebody's heart. You just got to go with it. You can't say, no, well, we were going through a study of Matthew, Lord. When he calls us to do something, we're going to see that today with Matthew. You just got to do it. And so today, the title of the sermon today is Matthew's Story. If you're a note taker, if you look in the back of the bulletin, there's a place if you want to jot down the scripture and take any notes or anything like that, so you can remember things that maybe the Lord says to you during this sermon or whatever, use that. Last week, when we took the break, we went into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we looked at five steps to victory. So we're all going through some kind of battle. If we're not going through battle, we've been through a battle, or there's a battle coming our way. But how do you really get that victory that God wants you to have? Five steps of victory that we saw in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And if you weren't here, if you missed that message, or if you missed any message that's ever preached here by me or another pastor who comes to fill in or whatever, a guest speaker, it's all, if you like us, if you follow us on Facebook, they're all archived there. Sometimes our service fails us and we don't have that, but on our website, ForkUnionBaptist.org, you can go over to the sermons and we have all the sermon audios for almost 2 years now. So what a blessing. And so I just have to give a shout out to everybody who's made that possible, because it's such a great ministry that people that can't be with us because of COVID and all that stuff, they can still hear whatever message is brought that week. So last week we saw, if you want victory in your battles, and I encourage you to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 if you weren't here, and let the Lord speak to you. But we saw that King Jehoshaphat, he went after the Lord. He sought the Lord's guidance in the middle of when the battle was coming. He spent time to fast and he got alone with the Lord and he put everything else aside. He spent time in prayer and reading the word. He stayed involved. They went to the temple and the believers came together to fight together in prayer. And they worshiped the Lord and the Lord fought their battle for them. Well, today as we get back into Matthew chapter 9, we're going to see this is the most, in my opinion, most important passage chunk of scripture in the book of Matthew. Today we're going to look at Matthew telling about himself, about how he came to encounter Christ. Now we've read a lot of awesome stuff that Jesus has done. We've read a lot of things about Jesus, what he can do. We talked about what he wants to do in our life, what he's capable of doing. So why would I say that this is the most important? Well, it's because without this event that we're going to read today, there would only be three gospels in the Bible. Because if Matthew hadn't accepted the call of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even have what's now my favorite gospel. I like reading through Matthew. That's my favorite. That's why we picked that to study it. Today's passage is Matthew telling about his personal encounter with Jesus. And it's a simple testimony that he gives. He doesn't spend a lot of time talking about himself, but he just says, he came upon this man named Matthew, and he changed his life forever. It's basically what he's saying. And thank God, because now I get to my favorite, and the first book in the New Testament is my favorite book to read through. We have that. Amen? So it's powerful. We're going to get into the scripture. But it's powerful when we accept the call of God, because he's got plans for us that will blow our mind. I bet Matthew had no idea that the things that he was recording that we've been reading would be spoken about in 2020, years after he wrote it. But that's what God does. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. You're going to have to bear with me here. The wind's blowing my pages everywhere. All right, starting in verse 9, it says this. Jesus calls Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners." What a powerful, powerful message from our Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we just thank you for the reading of your word this morning. And I just pray that you would speak to us again. Lord, we just, as I try to fumble through this and I go through what you've laid on my heart out of this passage, God, I just pray that somebody here will receive it today. Lord, you're calling on somebody today. Lord, you've been calling on somebody. I don't know what it is. Or you're going to call somebody. Somebody has been sitting there. Life is normal. And you've been calling them. You've been nudging them. You're saying, God, you've been saying, Anthony, come follow me. I got this for you. And they've been ignoring you. Maybe they've been putting you to the side. I pray today, Lord, that you would break through and that they would allow you. And they would say, just like Matthew did, they would just get up and follow you today. Whether that be doing a new ministry, whether it be salvation, accepting the gift of forgiveness that you give us for the first time, whatever you're calling us to, God, I just pray that today, through the reading and the studying of your word and the preaching of your word, that our faith might grow in our Heavenly Father. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before we dive into this passage verse by verse, we need to understand something about the scene and what's going on here, okay? And I know, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, sin and some of the people with leprosy that we've seen healed and all those things, but out of all those people, the tax collectors was one of the most hated people in all town. I don't know about you, but I still don't like paying my taxes. Does anybody enjoy paying your taxes? Raise your hand. All right, because I don't really like it. And whoever made the rule, or whoever decided, like, okay, let's make your property taxes due before Christmas and right before summer when you're planning on vacation. I don't know who did that, but they need to come see me because I got a better idea, okay? We need to understand something about this scene. In those days, a tax collector was hated more than anyone. Not only did Matthew collect taxes for the Roman government, but he actually collected the fees above and beyond. The Romans actually, they would tell him, they say, look, you can be a tax collector, and whatever you want to make, you collect that extra. As long as we get our share, we don't care. And so they would compensate the tax collectors by letting them rip people off. This is how Matthew could afford this big house that he was living in, that he was hosting all the people for. So let's read. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll keep going. People hated tax collectors. We'll just stick with that. They were corrupt. They hated them because they got rich off of other people's hard-earned money. I don't know about you, but doesn't it just aggravate you if you've worked hard for something and someone else gets the reward for it, right? Especially if you see, imagine if you saw somebody who you had to pay your taxes to, you're struggling to get by, and they're living high on the hog. Okay, Matthew was living there. He had a big enough house where he could have all these guests to come over to his house. And we talked about it. You go to these third world countries, when you go to places like that, people don't live like that. They live in little small buildings, and they line up on the floor and sleep shoulder to shoulder. They don't need a big house like we need. Matthew was a lost cause. And while everybody else was looking at how much of a scumbucket he was, Jesus came along and saw his potential. Look with me at verse 9. We'll go back and read it now. Look at verse 9. He says this: as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Now this might just seem like another story. He comes along and there's another guy and he says, hey, come follow me. And he said, okay, I'll come follow you. But the decision that Matthew made to follow Jesus, what it does, and as I was reading it and thinking about it this week, it reveals a lot about where Matthew was in his life, in his spiritual life. Okay, you see, when Matthew tells us that Jesus saw him sitting, remember, Matthew is writing this about himself. So when he's saying Jesus was walking along and he saw this man named Matthew. All right, there's so many times I think about my old life, okay, before Jesus Christ. And I can almost talk about myself in third person because it's not who I am now. It's who I used to be. And I love that. He says he saw this man named Matthew. Okay? And he's not just talking about he walks up and physically sees him. I think what he's talking about is he's seeing Matthew's spiritual struggle. He's seeing where Matthew was spiritually. Jesus saw that Matthew was rich, but he was unsatisfied. He had everything he wanted. He had a big house. He had more possessions than probably most of the people because he was spending their hard-earned money to get it. But he still wanted more. He was still unsatisfied. Jesus saw that Matthew needed a purpose in life. And I believe that Jesus saw Matthew wondering that question that we probably all have found ourselves. Is there more to life than this? Than to, you know, to pay taxes and to die, or to, you know, to work and retire and then die? Is there more to life than this? How do I fill this hole in my heart that I've been trying to fill with everything else, but I can't? I believe Jesus, when he saw Matthew sitting in that tax collector booth, that's what he saw. He saw the inward struggle. He saw the loneliness. He saw the pain, maybe the shame for the wrong that he had done. Maybe he saw the lack of purpose in Matthew's life. Whatever it was, I believe he saw the struggle in Matthew's heart. Proverbs 15:11 says this, "Even death and destruction hold no secrets from the Lord." It goes on to say this, "How much more does he know about the human heart?" Can I remind you today, a lot of what a pastor's job is, okay? There's some of you guys that know the Bible better than I do. My job really is to remind you what you already might know. Sometimes my job in a sermon is just to remind you over and over the truth from the scripture, all right? So can I remind you today that Jesus sees you this morning? Jesus sees what you're dealing with this morning. If you think nobody knows what you're going through or know that you're dealing with, you think you're all alone, I want to remind you that Jesus does. Jesus knows what you're going through. And not only does he see your pain, not only does he see your struggle, not only does he see the sin that entangles you, but he sees the potential that you have to be a Christ follower this morning. All right, so not only does he see all the things that you've done wrong, not only does he see all the things that you fall short on, he looks at Anthony Clord, he looks at you, he looks at all of anybody who's listening online, he looks at you and he says, there's such potential if you would just get out of your tax collector booth and you would just follow me. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens." He doesn't say, "Come to me, all of you who got it all figured out." Right? That's not what he says. "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden, and the burden that I give you is light." This is something I never really understood. I never understood. What is he talking about? The yoke that he gives is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. But I'm learning this as I strive to follow Christ in my life, that even though you might get it, Jesus isn't promising us that we're never going to have any problems. He's not promising us that if we follow him, that we're never going to be burdened. We're never going to have anything that happens to us bad, or that just weighs on us heavy. But if you go back to the very beginning of what he said, "I will give you rest." You see, there's no better place than just to rest in knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. So no matter how busy you are, no matter how broke you are, no matter how whatever, no matter how sick you are, whatever, if you know that you're following Christ, he gives you rest. In the middle of the storm, he gives you rest. Jesus knew that if Matthew would just quit living for the world, if he would just quit living for his flesh and what he wanted, the money that he had and all these things, if he would just quit living for the world and follow him, he knew Matthew could do great things. He knew through God he could do great things with Matthew. And praise God that he answered the call, because now I have my favorite gospel to read. Amen. And God sees the same kind of potential for me. He sees the same kind of potential for you. He sees this, Adam, he sees the same potential for you, brother. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. We love you. Look at verse 10 and 11 back in Matthew chapter 9. It says this. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" Here we see this awesome scene of what we're supposed to do once we follow Christ. But we also see in this scene right here who Jesus really is. Remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago, Jesus just being Jesus, right? That's who he is. Let's look at what he did, what we're supposed to do first. Let's look at what Matthew does. Matthew not only accepted Jesus Christ into his heart, okay? He not only followed him, but he invited him to the most personal place in his life. He invited him into the house, and he invited him to meet, and he introduced him to his friends in his home to eat dinner with somebody. If you really care about somebody, if you really want to get to know somebody, you'll have them to your house, and you sit around the table and you eat together, right? That's how you really tell somebody that you want them to be in your life and you want them to be a part of who you are. So often we want Jesus to see us when we need him, right? So, oh God, I'm going through this struggle. Would you please, Lord, I'm calling on your name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me with this, help me with that. But so often we don't want to invite him into the privacy of our home. We don't want to invite him into the privacy of our heart and our life and our thoughts and all those things. See, Jesus can have our hearts on Sunday morning for an hour. We'll even sing some songs about him. Maybe on Wednesday night when we have Bible study, he'll get an hour of us then. But that's it. Because if Jesus is allowed too much in my life, he might expect me to introduce him to my friends like he did with Matthew. Or maybe he'll see what I'm watching on TV and not approve of it. Or maybe he'll see what, or maybe he'll ask me, what am I doing with my time? You see, Matthew was all in. He invited Jesus into his home, and he was excited to introduce who he had found, who he was following, where he found his identity. He was excited to introduce him to his friends. When is the last time you introduced Jesus Christ to one of your friends or to a group of your friends? Think about that for a minute. That convicted me this week. When's the last time I said, hey, I want y'all to meet my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you what he's done in my life. When is the last time, church, that we have done that? This is what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to invite him into the most private parts of our life. Because if Jesus is there, we might be a little more picky about who we hang out with and what we watch on TV or what we think about. If Jesus is there, we might be a little more picky about what we watch. If Jesus is there, we might rethink how we spend our time. If Jesus is there, instead of just hanging out with sinners and falling into sin and doing sinful things and living for the world, we'll look forward to introducing them to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, you know what? I'm not judging you, but listen, this I used to do the same thing, but listen what Jesus has done in my life. So in case we've forgotten this morning, our salvation is just the very, very, very beginning of what God wants to do with us and what he wants from us. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, accept me, okay? A lot of times we say, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all good and well. We should do that. But he said, follow me. He didn't say, accept me and go back to life as normal. He didn't say, accept me as your Lord and Savior and keep ripping people off in the tax collector booth and keep living for yourself and whatever you want. He said, follow me. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. This is Jesus talking again. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, he is talking to you. Peace be with you this morning. As the Father sent Jesus, he also sends you and he sends me. We've said it before. God saves you to send you, right? He doesn't save you. What did Malcolm call us? Pew pilots, right? Y'all got to wake up this morning. Y'all are looking at me like I just offended your mother or something. Y'all got to lighten up a little bit this morning. We're not called to be pew pilots. And I don't know if Malcolm can listen to this, but I'm going to tell him I used his line this morning. God saves us to send us. Matthew was excited about following Jesus, and he wants his friends to know it. He wanted his friends. He was like, you know what? I want y'all to know what I found and what I'm going to do. But the religious leaders, on the other hand, they weren't happy about it at all. They couldn't believe that Jesus would eat with such scum. That's exactly what they said. Why would Jesus, if he's the Son of God and he's holy and he's the Messiah, why would he want to eat with such scum? See, these people were sinners. Why would he care about them enough to have a dinner with them and eat with them? Can I tell you something this morning that might be a shock to you? I don't know. As the pastor of this church, I would only hope that somebody would drive by here, or maybe that people would start whispering and talking bad about our church and say, did you see Fork Union Baptist Church? Did you see the kind of people, the bunch of sinners that go there? Did you see that they welcomed so-and-so into their congregation? I drove by and I saw such-and-such sitting there. Do you remember what he did? We remember what we did that time in college? Remember what we did last week? Can you believe they allow him in their church? I hope people say that about this church. Did you see what those people wear? They don't even dress up. I saw the preacher wearing shorts and flip-flops one Sunday. I hope we have this reputation in the community. You know why? Because it means we're doing something right. It means we're doing something right. We've stepped aside from every tradition, maybe every religious thing that we think we were supposed to do, and we're just simply following Christ. We're going to do what we need to do to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no matter whether there's a pandemic, no matter whether there's riots in the street and civil unrest, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. And we're going to do, we don't change the message at all, but sometimes we have to change the way that we deliver it. Because when people start whispering and they start saying, well, I can't believe that they allow that person to be a deacon. Or I can't believe that Anthony Clore is the pastor of that church. I remember what he used to do. He grew up with us, and how can he get up there and preach? It means we're doing something right. These religious leaders wanted to think that they were better than those tax collectors. They said, you know what, we're better than those sinners. Why would Jesus go eat with them? They're not good enough for God to love them. They're not dressed up enough for God to love them. They've done too many bad things for God to forgive them and hang out with them and want to fellowship with them. But see, that's not what Jesus says. Look at verse 12. Let's go on down. Look at verse 12 in chapter 9. He says, we'll look at 13 as well. When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I love that. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Here in these last few verses, we really see the reason why Jesus came into this broken and sin-infested world. Number one, Jesus came to heal those who are spiritually sick. And guess what? If you look in the book of Romans, it says, not just me, not just you, or not just those awful sinners down the street. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us can say that we are righteous unless we have our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, sin, it's a sickness. And it says, what Romans also tells, Paul says this in Romans, he says, what does sin lead to? It leads to death. Sickness leads to death. Sin is a sickness, and it's a sickness that can only be healed by the great physician. But we must acknowledge our sickness and ask God to heal us. If I'm sick and I'm running a fever and I'm throwing up and I'm like under the weather and I feel like I'm getting ready to die, or maybe I've got a mass growing on the side of my neck or something, the doctor can't help me if I don't go to the doctor, right? So I have to make the decision to say, I've got to go to the one that can help me. I need some medicine for this, you know, volleyball that's growing on the side of my neck. I don't know if y'all remember. Oh, Lord. I had the same thing. I had an ingrown toenail. And I was like, I need to go to the doctor so he can fix it. I've got pictures I'll show next week. I forgot to show them last time. Jesus came to heal the spiritually sick. He is the great physician. He and he alone can bring the healing from our sin and the forgiveness and wash us white as snow like the scripture talks about. But we have to go to the doctor. And we have to let him heal us, and we have to ask him. Number two, the reason Jesus came was to have mercy. Not for us to gain a bunch of sacrifices. He didn't come so people would give him more sacrifices. He came to show mercy upon us. Even though we don't deserve it, he came to show us mercy. God wants us to make sacrifices for him. He wants us to tithe and give our offerings and maybe sacrifice our time by serving him and all those things. But these are not enough. And that's what Jesus is telling us. What God really wants is our heart. What God really wants is us to say, to get out of our tax collector booth and to follow him when he calls us to do that. I know we've said this before, but if God really has my heart, he'll have all that I am. Okay, so not just my mind, not me just knowing about him, but if he has my heart, if he really gets a hold of my heart, like he did with Matthew, and I let him, he'll have all that I am. Jesus wants to have mercy. He wants to forgive. He wants to cleanse, and he wants to restore, and he wants us to be with him ultimately when we die in this life, to be with him in heaven. But we also have to realize that he called Matthew away from his tax collector booth. We also have to repent. And this brings us to number three. This is the third reason that Jesus came, is to call us into repentance. If you remember, from the very beginning, even John the Baptist, he said, what? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and turn to God. He didn't tell Matthew, accept me as your Savior. He didn't say, Matthew, I need you to know about me. So I want you to read about me and learn everything there is to read about me in the scriptures or whatever. He told Matthew to follow him. He said, follow me and be my disciple. That's what he wants to do with each one of us. You can't really follow Jesus and still be living in the sin that entangles you. Okay, so if you think that you can be a Christ follower and not walk away from what you were following before, it's not going to work. And Jesus talks about that too. And James talks about it. You can't be divided. You got to choose one master over the other. He left it behind. He repented and he followed Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Unless you repent, you will perish. So as we close, I want us to remember this. Jesus loves the sinners. That's what he came for. That's why God sent his perfect and holy Son down here to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sin, even though we didn't deserve it. He loves sinners, but he never condones the sin that entangles us. Are y'all with me this morning? So many churches have given into this idea that in order to love sinners, we're not allowed to ever talk about sin. All right, so if we're going to love the sinners, if we're going to love people that come and we know they're tangled up in sin, if I'm going to be loved by God and I'm a sinner, how dare me talk about sin? And don't even start on like singling out sin and start preaching on certain sins. All of a sudden, when we start preaching against sin, we become haters and hypocrites. I actually believe the exact opposite. I believe if you really love sinners, we accept them just like they are. We accept them. We say, we love you. There's a place here, right here on this corner at this church, where we're going to accept you and we're going to love you. But we love them enough to tell them the truth. Is that making sense this morning? We love them enough to tell, not my opinion, not my opinion on politics or anything else, but the truth from God's word. We tell them that we've all fallen short because of sin, but we share the good news of Jesus as the solution to the problem. Jesus loved Matthew, and he knew the plans that he had for him. But he didn't allow Matthew to continue the life that he was living. This is what real conversion looks like, church. Repent means you basically turn in another direction and you walk away and you head in a new direction. We encounter the love of Jesus in our heart, so we walk away from our sin. We get out of the prison cell that we were in, and we follow Jesus. For Matthew, it was a tax collector's booth. For Matthew, it was his money, his possessions, his nice house. For us, it could be an addiction. For us, it could be a lifestyle. For us, it could be this or that or whatever. We could keep going on and on and on. Things that entangle us. But whatever we are enslaved to in our flesh, Jesus calls us to get up, get out of the tax collector booth, and follow him. When we do this, we become like Matthew, and we find our real purpose for living. We find rest for our souls. I'm going to close with this. I remember 2003, 2004, I had a brand new state-of-the-art flip phone. That was before smartphones, okay? And I remember, like, I was riding in the work van. I was working with a guy at the time, and my phone was ringing. And I had caller ID. That was, like, state-of-the-art. You know, it was nice. You could screen your calls. And I'm screening the call, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm saying, I don't want to talk to him right now. So I clipped it back on my belt. That's what you did. You know, you're cool. You clipped it on your belt, and it's just ringing. And he's saying, man, would you please silence that thing? It's getting on my nerves. It just kept ringing and just kept ringing and kept ringing. And I said, well, I don't want to answer it. And he said, if you look on the side, you hit that little button, it'll silence the ringer, and you don't have to listen to it. And I had no idea. So as people call me now, I can just hit the little button. And the smartphones still work the same way. You can ignore a call, but it's not annoying other people. But I remember it made me think about how many times Jesus calls us to do something, and we hit that little button on the side because we don't want to deal with that right now. Maybe he's calling you to walk away from sin. And the phone's ringing and you're saying, he's calling your heart and you're saying, I'm not ready for that right now. Let me just silence that and put that away. Maybe next week I'll answer that call. Whatever it is. Or maybe he's calling you to step into a new place with him. Step out on faith and go into uncharted territory like Matthew did. Come and follow me. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't hit the little silent button on the side. If God is calling you this morning, you can make a commitment right where you are. Say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to follow you today. And if you need prayer, go to the Lord in prayer right now. You can pray. You don't need me. I'll be glad. I'll be up here in the front. If you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. But if God is calling you today, don't say, I'll call you back, Lord. I'll call him back later. Answer the call. And you'll be just like Matthew. You'll find your purpose in life. And Jesus promises, too, that you will find rest for your soul. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, whatever it is, come as we sing.